Welcome to the Health Ranger Report with Mike Adams, the Health Ranger.
I am completely opposed to Trump's support of escalating war in the Middle East. And if you want to stop the Houthis from attacking, you know, cargo vessels and U.S. ships, the answer is pretty simple. You lean on Netanyahu and you tell him to stop the blockade of food and medicine and water and essential supplies to Gaza. That's all that's required. And then the Houthis will stop attacking the naval vessels. But instead, Trump and Secretary Rubio are ordering the military to attack the Houthis. Say, we're just going to keep attacking them until they can no longer attack us. That's not the source of the problem, right? That's just masking symptoms. The source of the problem is Israel's humanitarian violations of denying food and water and medical supplies to the civilian people of Gaza. That's the source of the problem. And that's true regardless of what you think about Israel, whether you're pro-Israel or anti-Israel or pro-Palestine, anti-Palestine, or Hamas or whatever. That's just the fact of the matter, is that that's why the Houthis are attacking ships, and they've said so. Now, then there's a bigger risk, by the way. And the reason I'm even recording this is because I need to put out a warning to Trump, his administration, his supporters, that a war in the Middle East will strongly detract from Trump's domestic focus, which should be the centerpiece of his political strategy. Trump is on a roll domestically. He's got Doge working. He's exposing the USAID slush fund. He's cutting the size of government, which is great. Pam Bondi is, you know, reportedly prosecuting some people. That needs to be an expanded list, but maybe they're in the investigations phase on that. Overall, Trump is making a lot of great domestic changes, like securing the border and deporting violent illegal criminals, etc. These are all really positive things, and he should focus on those things. And if he does not focus on those things, well then, you know, the problem is going to be that this will drag him down. That is, an expanded war in the Middle East can drag Trump down, and it can turn his win into a loss. The loss would be, oh, look, you know, we're in a war and our soldiers are coming home dead and Iran is attacking us, etc. Like, these are not good things. Another big risk in this is that, you know, right now Trump is making peace with Russia, or at least is in the beginning stages of that process. And if we can come off of the war footing with Russia and get into at least trade, you know, relative peace, and just trade goods and services and minerals and energy instead of bombs and missiles, well, then that can have strong economic benefits both for the United States and for the rest of the world, but Russia included. But that will be threatened if the U.S. and Iran get into a kinetic conflict. Why? Because Russia cannot allow Iran to fall. So the more aggressive the United States gets with attacking Iran or bombing Iran or attacking its nuclear facilities, almost spontaneously, the more aggressive Russia's response is going to be against the United States, and that will sabotage any kind of peace or trade negotiations. And part of what Netanyahu has always done, he's such a strong manipulator. He's a very experienced manipulator, and he wants to manipulate the United States into fighting Israel's wars in the Middle East, which the biggest target of that is, of course, Iran. So Netanyahu wants the United States to bomb Iran and destroy Iran. And Trump needs to be very cautious about this, because Iran is a formidable military foe, especially when you're fighting on their home turf, okay? Iran is a geographically very large country, especially for the Middle East region, you know, many, many times larger than Israel or even other countries like Jordan, for example, or Iraq, or, you know, Kuwait, which is tiny. But Iran also has mountains, you know, mountainous regions, which are just really excellent for storing missiles and ballistic missiles, military equipment, underground bases, underground ammunition depots, etc. To the point where a lot of that stuff is not reachable by U.S. bombs. And the U.S. can't even dare deploy troops on the ground in Iran because those troops would be wiped out. You can't send U.S. troops, just like Israel can't send Israeli troops to fight Iran at the doorstep of Iran. You'd be just decimated, okay? I mean, Iran has fighter jets and bombers and, you know, drone technology and ballistic missile technology, cruise missiles, advanced comms equipment, anti-air defense systems, some of which I believe were provided by Russia, and many other examples of advanced military technology. If you didn't know this about Iran, then, you know, get up to speed, because Iran has advanced fighter jet aircraft, among other things. They should not be, you know, fiddled with in the Middle East. It's just asking for trouble. And it's not hard to see a situation where the United States gets into a shooting match with Iran, and where U.S. naval vessels are launching missiles, and then those naval vessels themselves come under fire from things like hypersonic missiles or ballistic missiles, or even Russia's Oreshnik missile system, which would just destroy and sink a U.S. aircraft carrier. So it's not hard to imagine a scenario where Trump rolls the Navy into, you know, the Arabian Sea, or I don't know if he's going to get as close as the Persian Gulf, but certainly the Arabian Sea, and is attacking Iran from the sea and from the air, probably combined with Israel's attacks at the same time. But then there's a response from Iran and maybe from Russia that sinks a bunch of U.S. naval vessels in the Arabian Sea, or maybe in the Sea of Oman there, or wherever they happen to be, okay? Maybe even in the Mediterranean. Maybe the U.S. will park some aircraft carriers or battle groups in the Mediterranean. Maybe they have the range. I don't know. That's a long flight, so I don't know. But probably they're going to be closer. But that puts them well within range of Russia's missiles and even Iran's missiles. So if you start to look at U.S. naval craft being destroyed, and you know, you start to get reports like, oh, my God, they sank the USS aircraft carrier here. God forbid if it's the Ford class carrier, then now you've lost credibility as a military. And, you know, Secretary Rubio, who overall I think is doing a really excellent job, he's talking pretty tough with the Houthis, and he likes to talk tough with Iran. But I think there's a bit of a FAFO phenomenon going on here. I think that talking tough with Iran is a mistake, because Iran can make good on their promises, and the U.S. Navy is largely obsolete. I mean, the Navy can roll up and do a certain amount of damage from a certain distance, but they can't bomb the underground bases. They can bomb government buildings and civilian targets and manufacturing facilities, okay? Just all the above ground stuff, but they can't really stop the weapons supplies that are in the mountains, in the caves. They can't stop that. There's nothing they can do. They can't put troops on the ground. And then the U.S. battle group is just a sitting duck out there, just waiting to be hit by hypersonic missiles. So that's a scenario that could be a losing hand. And I encourage Trump to think very cautiously about this. Don't get wrapped into this because Netanyahu is strong-arming you into this situation, or because you owe, you know, the Israeli lobby a bunch of return favors for all the campaign donations or whatever. Like, be very cautious about this. And it's not hard to see Democrats domestically in the U.S. becoming the anti-war party again, which they weren't during the Biden administration when Biden was waging war against Russia using Ukraine as a proxy state. All the Democrats were all in for the war. You notice that? But they'll flip and become anti-war if it's Trump's war, you see. Of course, the Democrats have no actual values. I mean, nothing consistent. They're not really anti-war. They're just anti-war when Trump's in the White House. The rest of the time, they're totally pro-war, right? But they'll turn against Trump, and then when soldiers start coming home dead in the draped coffins or however that is depicted, and you have military funerals in the U.S., I mean, sinking an aircraft carrier would kill about 5,000 sailors. That would be absolutely catastrophic. And I'm not saying that that's an easy thing for Iran to do, but it is easy for Russia to do, and it's easy for China to do. In fact, it was Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of Defense, who said before he was the Secretary of Defense, he said that China can destroy all of the U.S. aircraft carriers all over the world in about 20 minutes. Actually, it's about 25 minutes, but who's counting, you know? Within an hour, okay, China can destroy every U.S. aircraft carrier. Well, Russia has that same capability. So what are you doing out there poking the bear? What are you doing? And if the U.S. Navy takes a bunch of hits and loses thousands of sailors and several ships, well, then the U.S. Navy can't project power along the commercial ocean trade routes. Well, then that makes it less likely that the nations out there are going to use the dollar for trade, because they might say, well, BRICS looks a lot better now because the BRICS nations can provide better security where it's needed, you know? If the U.S. Navy is so weak that they can't even beat Iran. I mean, I understand these are a lot of what ifs. I'm just saying there are risks involved here. What are the three things that Michael Yon says about war? He says, number one, all wars grow. Number two, all wars grow unpredictably. And then number three, all wars last longer than you expect they will. So the U.S. is rolling in there with this expectation that, oh, it's going to be fast, it's going to be easy, we'll just bomb the smithereens out of Yemen, or we'll just drop a nuke on Iran's oil fields or whatever, and then we'll be done, and we'll just be out of there. Yeah, never going to happen like that. You're going to get caught in a quagmire. This is going to become the Vietnam of the Middle East, and the left will then do what they did during Vietnam. They'll have protests all over the country, protests on campus, and these will be Americans protesting, not just like Palestinians that Trump can choose to arrest and deport because they're not citizens. This will be American citizens protesting the war, the Vietnam, in the Middle East. And you're going to lose the support of so many of the people who are Iranians or Iraqis or people of Kuwait. You know, you're going to lose the support as Trump. You're going to lose the support of so many Middle Eastern countries that are negatively impacted by this. And you're not going to gain the support of anybody, because you already have Israel supporting you, and Trump is already supporting Israel. You're not going to pick up another country by unleashing World War III in the Middle East. If anything, you're going to alienate more people, more supporters in the United States, who will find a new reason to join the Democrat Party, which is anti-war. We don't want war. And all of a sudden, the Democrats will find a new reason to exist. They'll pivot from mutilating the genitalia of children and banning guns to just being opposed to war. And they'll do it on humanitarian grounds. Oh, we have to stop the bloodshed. We have to stop the suffering. Oh my God, look at all these, you know, horrible things. And war is horrible. So they will have a point. That's going to be very seductive. A lot of people will join the Democrats, or people who have been offended by the Democrats and the wokeism and the DEI and the LGBT nonsense. They will find a new reason to return to the Democrat Party. And there'll be a lot of people who were Trump supporters who voted for Trump thinking that Trump is going to be the peace president. Like he said, he's going to get us out of wars. And then they're going to find, oh, Trump is getting us into wars. Well, I don't want any part of that. And they'll leave the Republican Party. They'll leave, you know, MAGA. It'll be bye-bye MAGA. We're going back to the Democrats because we want to stand up against this war. So, look, that's the risk. It's a political risk. It's a humanitarian risk. It's an economic risk. And what do you think is going to happen to the price of oil when war breaks out against Iran? What do you think is going to happen? You know, gasoline is going to go to $10 a gallon, even in the Midwest and the Mid-South. Not to mention California, where it will be like $15 a gallon, you know, because that's California for you. This is going to really hamper U.S. economic growth. And that's my point, is that if Trump drags us into this extended war, conflict, whatever you want to call it, the U.S. economy suffers. Trump's domestic agenda suffers big time. And as a result, Trump loses a massive amount of support for his agenda. And we end up sacrificing America, losing America in order to what? To fight Israel's wars? So it's Israel first, America last? No, I am not okay with that. We need to put America first and encourage Israel to de-escalate, which so far they've been completely unwilling to do because America keeps shipping bombs over there and weapons and money, billions of dollars. Hey, as long as Israel keeps getting free money and free bombs and free weapons and free nukes and everything else, and the nukes are illegal too, by the way, then Israel has no incentive to de-escalate. They're getting all the support that they wanted. So, of course, Israel is going to eventually try to wrangle the United States into a war with Iran. And that is not going to go well at all. That's my concern. In my view, Trump should be taking the Ron Paul approach here. Get us out of foreign wars. Shut down U.S. military bases all over the Middle East. You know how many bases are in Kuwait? I mean, even command centers for, what is it? Is that the 5th Fleet that's out of there? I think it is. I don't keep track of all the naval names and everything, but there's all kinds of military bases, command centers, all over the Middle East. We're talking about over 50,000 U.S. troops. That's in Iraq, it's in Afghanistan, it's in Kuwait. Some of them are in, you know, other surrounding countries. Some of them, I mean, gosh, there's military bases in, you know, Jordan and Turkey and all kinds of other places. So, and not everybody wants them there either. Well, if the U.S. attacks Iran, Iran is going to freaking bomb those bases. And you could be looking at, you know, 10,000 dead American troops overnight, which is probably something that, like, Lindsey Graham, Senator Graham, would love, because he, oh, now we have to attack them. We have to nuke them now. Look, they killed so many troops. Well, you provoked it. You provoked it. You attacked Iran first. So, you know, there's a sense that the U.S. is kind of leaving U.S. troops out there as bait to try to provoke an attack, which this was very much what the West did in Ukraine. They kept moving missiles closer to Russia and setting up bioweapons laboratories in eastern Ukraine and moving troops to Ukraine and firing artillery on the pro-Russian citizens of the Donbass region and everything. This was all designed to provoke Russia. And it worked. Eventually, Russia was like, we just can't tolerate this anymore. We're going to take over the Donbass region. And that began the special military operation February 22nd of 2022, I believe. It began. So America's trying to do the same thing with Israel in the Middle East. They're going to try to keep provoking Iran until Iran is forced to respond. And when Iran responds, thousands of U.S. troops are going to be killed. And then that's going to be all over the news in America. Oh, my God, we have to respond. This is basically a Middle Eastern Pearl Harbor. And you remember what happened in Pearl Harbor. The U.S. sort of engineered that event. It wasn't a false flag operation, but it was a provoked attack on Pearl Harbor. I mean, the U.S. did the naval embargo around Japan to stop their oil supply. And then the U.S. was involved in other, you know, diplomatic communications and provocations. And then you notice that in Pearl Harbor, all the really important ships were moved out of the harbor 2 days earlier. And what was left behind was mostly a bunch of old junker ships and ships that were needing extensive repairs so that Pearl Harbor could be attacked. They even turned off the radar to make sure that they didn't see any incoming attack. And then when Pearl Harbor was attacked, the U.S. government says, oh my God, we've been attacked. We have to go to war with Japan. And the American people at that point were like, yes, we have to go to war with Japan. Well, that was all engineered. Pearl Harbor was an engineered event, just like 9/11 was an engineered event. Well, I'm seeing there's going to be another engineered event in the Middle East to blame Iran or to justify an attack on Iran. And maybe Iran carries out an attack, but again, it's being provoked into that or given no other options. And that's what the West wants, is to be able to point the finger at Persia and say, see, you're the aggressors. You fired first, and then we decided to destroy you. This is the way the West always operates, every single time. And probably the UK government is trying to do the same thing right now, to blame Russia for something that happens in Ukraine. You know, some kind of a false flag attack or provocation to blame Russia to justify more war. You can see it clear as day. This is the blueprint, okay? So be wary of this, and you better fill up your gas tanks, you know, because fuel's about to get really expensive if this escalates, and it looks like it's going to happen. Now, we don't know exactly when, but it's growing closer each and every day. So what can you do? Well, I mean, you can only store so much gas and diesel. It's not even very safe to store gasoline. It's too combustible. So I always say, get a diesel vehicle and store diesel, because it's so much safer to store and have a diesel generator, your backup power supply, and get all your backup equipment. You know, satellite phone store now offers Starlink satellite deals. You can just go to starlink123.com. You can have backup comms, or you can go to sat123.com for satellite phones or backup power supplies and solar generators. And just be ready for a wartime situation that may result in cyber attacks on the United States, may result in disruptions. Now, I'm not anticipating, you know, mass bombings of U.S. cities by Iran. I don't think that would happen. But there could be cyber attacks from numerous countries, even maybe from Russia. There could be disruptions of the U.S. power grid and disruptions of infrastructure. There could be an unleashing of all the, you know, illegal occupying enemy terrorists who crossed the border into the United States and have been awaiting orders to activate and start attacking infrastructure. I mean, that could be unleashed at any given moment. Just be ready for this. And also, you know, gold and silver, make sure you're squared away so that when the dollar plunges, which is going to happen, Trump will have to print trillions of dollars. There's no way out of this. You know, it's not Trump's fault. He's just going to have to print trillions of dollars. That's 100% chance that that's going to happen, okay? And the excuse might be war. The excuse might be a pandemic. The excuse might be a financial collapse or cyber attack or whatever. Trump is going to print trillions of dollars. And the dollar value is going to plummet. And if you don't have gold and silver or land or other real assets, you know, you're going to be in a world of hurt. So watch the situation very, very closely in the Middle East. You know, have your backup systems in place. Be ready for anything unexpected. Pray for peace. Pray for de-escalation. And if you can, please encourage your senators and your House representatives and your governors to de-escalate and support peace. And if you get a chance, tell them you don't want America fighting Israel's wars. We need to put America first. We need to focus on the domestic agenda. We've got problems at home. We've got 10 plus million illegal invaders that crossed over the border during the Biden administration. How many have been deported? Like a couple thousand, maybe. That's it. So there's still like 9.99 plus million to go. Well, let's focus on that. You know, we've got problems at home. We don't need to be off fighting foreign wars, especially with Iran, which is a losing proposition. So that's my take on it. Thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. You can follow me on Twitter at Health Ranger or Brighteon.social, which is our own social media network. Same username there, Health Ranger. Brighteon.io is a decentralized social media network, blockchain driven. And that's Brighteon.io. My username there is also Health Ranger. Or you can follow me at Brighteon.com and also naturalnews.com. So thank you for listening, and God bless America. I pray for safety and I pray for peace. Take care.
All right, we've got some new things to share with you here, including my new music album, which we'll talk about in a second. But we have a new docuseries available at brightu.com, which is Brigham Young University. It's called Feel Good Gut Health, and it's all about supporting your gut health. And that is running starting March 22nd. And if you sign up for it, it's free to watch. You, of course, you always have the option to purchase it if you want, or you don't have to. You can just watch one episode every day as it goes on a loop each 24 hours, and you can watch the whole thing for free. That's at brightu.com. Now, at our store, healthrangerstore.com, we have an assortment of really high-end products. Some of them are just back in stock that can help also support your natural gut health. And I put a little collection on my desk here. Let me show you. We've got Fermented Super 30. That's on the left side there with the orange label. That is 30 foods and superfoods that are fermented to really express the full nutrient properties of those foods. It's a powder that you can mix in with smoothies and other things. We've also got a probiotic drink mix with kombucha. We have cherry and we have pomegranate flavors. That's what you're seeing there. Those are available right now, healthrangerstore.com. We have NAC capsules, which is really crucial for supporting your body's natural detoxification process, which is also part of supporting your gut health. You have to detoxify your gut, detoxify your blood. And you know, there are a number of strategies for that, but NAC can help support that natural process. Then we have a new and really popular oat milk product, which has no guar gum, no carrageenan, and it doesn't have any thickeners, and it doesn't have any calcium carbonate in it whatsoever. Because a lot of other oat milk products out there, you're actually drinking chalk. They literally just put chalk in it. That's what calcium carbonate is, to make it milky and white. So if you don't want to drink chalk, but you love oat milk, then get our oat milk at healthrangerstore.com. It's completely chalk-free and carrageenan-free as well. You're going to love it. We've got clean chlorella there in a couple of different forms. Chlorella has a very strong capability of supporting detoxification and helping to clean out your gut. Just, you know, read the label and consume it as directed. And remember, all of this is part of the Feel Good Gut Health theme that we have going on right now. So go to brightu.com to sign up for Feel Good Gut Health. That's free. One other thing I want to show you is that my music album is now available. And it's available at Spotify. We have the Amethios is my artist name. There it is, Amethios. And then we also have the album called The Awakening. And that album has 9 songs on it. One thing that's missing is I Want My Bailout Money. But I've got another song that I'm working on right now called All Our Dreams Come True. And I just brought a little speaker. I'm just going to play a few seconds of that new song, which will also be available at Spotify and Apple Music and iTunes and iHeartRadio. And did I say Amazon? You can get all these on Amazon.com as well. But I want to play for you a little snippet of the new song that's coming out. It's about human liberty and freedom. I just want to play a little bit of the chorus and the first verse for you here. So we'll do this, and then that'll be the conclusion of this video. Here we go.
If we could comply our way to freedom, then we could bomb our way to peace. We could print our way to riches, give away everything for free. If we could tax our way to liberty and lie our way to truth, then tyrants in big government would make all our dreams come true. Forced to cull his chicken flocks.
All right, folks, that's a little bit of that song, a little teaser. That's coming out soon. Be sure to follow my album at Spotify or other music services. Enjoy the music. You can also, by the way, let me show you another page. You can go to music.brighttown.com, and there you can see all of the music videos that we have available, and you can download MP3 files there for the songs that we have videos for. Like, here's a video for Do What We Say, which is another new song on that album. So enjoy this music video, which is humanity overcoming the Terminator giant robot mechs in a dystopian sci-fi future. I think you'll really enjoy these songs. They all have a pro-human, pro-liberty focus to them. So thank you for all your support, and shop with us to support us at healthrangerstore.com. Thank you for all your support. Take care.